Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you, kicking off your work week on this Monday, July the 27th, 2020. Last Monday in the month of July. How about that? They fly right by during a pandemic. 7:27:20, 11 and a half minutes past the hour. Now, we've got a great guest this morning who actually I don't think has been with us since early June, which is quite a stretch since he stopped by, but a lot of important stuff to talk about this morning that will impact your kids. Now, a lot of it will be speculation, I'll tell you that, at this point. Well, you want to break in already during my intro?
I was going to say, if you don't like sports, shut the next 2 hours off.
Shut the next 2 hours off, because we're going to do sports this morning. But this week, we've got a lot of great stuff coming up. You know, during the pandemic, it's been kind of interesting, even though we've had a lot of great guests on by telephone, and people are still coming to the studio. It's not like that's not happening. We've kind of laid back on guests during this because we don't want to be talking about the pandemic every 5 minutes. We want to give you a breather. We know you hear about it on the national and local news and in the paper and so on and so forth. So we try to give you a break, but this week is going to be interesting. Not that we're going to be overwrought with the pandemic, but we're going to try to give you some really good advice. So here's the schedule for the week. This is like if you used to open up the newspaper and you get the schedule of what's going on. Here's what's going to go on this week. Tomorrow morning, we are going to be joined at 8:10 a.m. by former governor of the state of Ohio, Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland will be here speaking out for the first time on the pandemic, how he thinks the current governor, Mike DeWine, has handled it, how he would have done it differently if he would have. Maybe he would have done nothing differently. And the upcoming presidential election, we are now under 100 days. Can you believe that? So Governor Ted Strickland, tomorrow, live from 8 until 9 a.m. And then one of our favorite people tomorrow from 9:10 until 10 a.m., Dr. Art Uhlein, former medical correspondent from the Today Show, is going to come in and tell us exactly where we are in this pandemic and what you can do as the numbers are on the rise. So tomorrow, Governor Ted Strickland and Dr. Art Uhlein. And then Friday, we have got a huge day of live in-studio entertainment planned and ready to go for you. From 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. on Friday, we will be joined all morning by the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. But here is what makes this very unique on Friday. From 8 until 10, he will join me on this program. We'll do some current events, but we're also going to have some national guests that will be calling in that Ted will interview in maybe 10 to 15 minute segments. I'm not going to tell you who they are right now because, frankly, I don't know at this point. But that will happen from 8 to 10 on Friday morning. Now, from 10 a.m. until 12 noon on Friday, Ted will be the guest host of On the Air. He will be doing that shift by himself. And it's my understanding he's going to do something he did on radio for so many years, give things away out of his closet. This worked in Columbus. We'll see if it works here. He's going to do trivia, basically. Maybe have a guest or two from 10 until 12, but he's going to give items out of his closet, golden voice items. And then from 12 to 1, we're going to have the Exchange Club, and it will be Ted and myself and 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. And I don't think Mary Ellen has been in quite a while. So Mary Ellen, Ted Williams, myself, a real Exchange Club panel for the first time in a long time on Friday from 12 until 1. What a day it's going to be. Plus a lot of announcements coming up on Friday as it relates to podcasts and things going on the internet. So you're not going to want to miss Friday morning on this station for love nor money, because who knows what will happen between now and Friday. But let's get to this morning. As many of you know, the high school sports season, football season, all of that is set to kick off within the next month, but really, we don't know anything right now. It's unstable. The world's unstable, and you've already heard him. So joining us this morning to discuss all of that. And
speaking of unstable, here's
speaking of unstable, that's exactly right. 40 years of broadcasting here in Marion at WMRN. and still at it, Jeff Ruth. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's now, been a long time since I've seen 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I say it's been, I couldn't believe, because ever since you retired from MRN, once a month you'd come in and we would do something and have a good time. But it's been almost 2 months now, I think, since you've been in.
Well, it would have been right after Charlie passed away.
Right after Charlie passed away, yeah. So we'll have to do this more often because it is fun, as we hope to prove to people this morning in the next 2 hours. Oh, and let me get the promos out of the way for the day. Adam, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp comes up at 10 o'clock this morning. Voice of a People with Linda Sims at 4, and the Mike Wilson Show with Mark Holbrook as the guest from the Convention and Visitors Bureau today at 5.
And you can also hear me Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7:05 a.m. and 3:05 p.m. on WZMO.
Which is on the dial.
104.7.
Now, did you listen this morning?
Actually, I really don't, but I got up this morning at like 7 o'clock, so I turned on. I did an interview with Dr. Davis a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, the coroner.
Yes.
Yes.
And he retired.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
I did not know this.
That's why you should have been listening this morning.
I listen at 3 o'clock.
Do you?
Will it be on at 3 o'clock?
It'll be on at 3, yeah, 3:05.
Dr. Davis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the interviews are like 10, 12 minutes long, but I knew he was retiring, and he's still going to be doing the coroner duties, but is going to step away, from that gradually. But, the 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, it was just, he was ready to retire. So he stepped down. When he stepped down, he wanted to spend more time, he said, with his family and, going hunting and fishing and things like that. And I think he said the furthest place he's been to hunt is Crawford County.
Yeah.
So, but it was a nice little interview. So,
so that'll be on at 3 o'clock today as well.
Right. Technically 3:05
at, on WZMO. But, and I don't say that every time I say this, it sounds to me, because in radio, it sounds to me like I'm doing a knock, but I'm really, this is serious. The interview is 10 minutes. So yeah. You can't come late. Like, you can come 10 minutes late to this program, and we'll still be here 10 minutes
yeah.
in.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that.
Like, if I had gotten up at 7:30 this morning and turned it on, I missed it.
Missed it all.
And, yeah.
So
after the interview, they played On Broadway by George Benson, which is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, that is a good song.
So I listened to a little bit of that.
So, yeah. So when I'm saying this, I'm not trying to be facetious. What I'm trying to say is, if you wait 10 minutes, you're going to miss it. You can't come late to this party. It's not gonna work that way. There's something I wanted to mention, because I know you're a fan of television and broadcasting, and I never interviewed this person and never met him, but I do want to mention it, because this week Regis Philbin passed away. Weekend at 88. And the one thing I want to say about Regis is, for any TV viewer, number one, he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for more television hours logged than anybody, period. Which, interestingly enough, the person he passed for that was Hugh Downs
right.
who just died a month ago.
Right.
So there's that.
So I wonder who's number one.
I don't. Do you have to be living, or is it just who has the most hours?
I guess it would be who has enough. So Regis is one, Hugh Downs would be two. I wonder who'd be number three.
Who's on television? Barbara Walters was on a lot.
Yeah.
Anybody, it would have to be somebody who does a daily.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Regis to me, and like I say, I never interviewed him, never met him, don't know anything about, normally wouldn't talk about somebody who I had no connection to. But the one thing about Regis, he was a great host, obviously on his live program and all the shows he did out in California before he did that. He was Joey Bishop's co-host on the National Joey Bishop Show. But he was also a great guest. David Letterman loved him. He was on the David Letterman Show, I think, 150 times, more than any other guest. And Letterman said something that I thought was interesting in a tweet this past weekend. He said, Regis was my favorite guest because he could take a punch. You could hit him, and it was, Regis was a persona. That wasn't really him, that guy who yells and speaks about himself in third person. And I think he was a very unique broadcaster in that he got it. A lot of people don't get it. We all come on very serious sometimes, and, from the Rockies tonight, that wasn't him. He was there to entertain people. And, boy, I liked watching Regis.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he was 88, when he died, I thought, that can't be, because he was just a fixture.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have anything to say about Regis?
I loved and never really during the day never really watched the Live with Regis and that sort of thing. Don't really remember him on the Joey Bishop show, but I think most people will certainly remember him from hosting the Millionaire Show.
He did an interview with the Ark. Oh, Millionaire. Gosh, how did we forget that? If you did not live in 99 when Millionaire came on, you will not understand what a phenomenon that was.
Right.
I mean, it was...
It was on one day a week. 2 days a week.
Yeah.
And I think eventually it was just overexposed too much.
And he said that, I think.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, this is 1999. Game shows were not on in primetime anymore.
No.
And had not been in a long time. This was a show... The promos for it all summer had Regis standing in front of a sequin curtain. It was definitely not high budget. And this thing came on and became the number one show on television within a week, to the point where they expanded it. And it won its time slot every night it was on. It was an absolute... There were ties created. There were shirts created. There were men's professional wear. This thing was so popular when it came out, it was really a time to live through. Final Answer, everybody, that became a thing. Is mm-hmm. that your final answer?
Mm-hmm.
And when the first guy won his million, it was huge. And that happened late in Regis's life.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice thing. But the interview I saw with him where they were saying, how would you like to be remembered? And he said, I really care about my audiences. I want them to have been entertained. And I thought that was a really good answer
mm-hmm.
for how he wanted to be remembered. And then just another one very quickly, not that I have a lot to say about this person, but Olivia de Havilland died this weekend at 104. Now, the reason that's significant is I believe she was the oldest person alive to ever get an honorary or Oscar, but she was also the last cast member of Gone with the Wind to be alive.
Really?
So Olivia de Havilland, gone at 104.
Hadn't seen that she had passed away.
And it was a shock to everybody at 104 that but she held up, though.
And one of the founding members of Fleetwood Mac passed away over the weekend, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the three.
Yeah.
Why do celebrities die in threes?
I don't know.
You don't want to be a celebrity. You'll go in threes. But yeah, I just thought Regis and Olivia de Havilland both had significance for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad to see. Who are going to replace these people? The Kardashians? In 50 years, are the people who take our spots going to sit here and say, well, Kim Kardashian died today, known for nothing?
When she dies, I mean, that's...
It'll be news.
It'll be news. It sure will
be. It'll be news. The reason, Jeff, the primary reason, he's always welcome here. Listen, high school sports is starting, are starting. Is it is or are? Are?
High school sports will be starting soon.
Will be starting soon. Within the month, we think. Now, and that's the point.
They're supposed to start Saturday.
Right, and this is why we say there's a great speculation. Because something happened last week that gives us great speculation at this point on if that's going to happen or not. Not just the fact that the COVID numbers are on the rise. We now have a mandatory mask order in Ohio. Which, by the way, we read the mandatory mask order last week, and I did not see... I guess there is an exclusion if you're exercising or... doing something like that. I don't know if that applies to sporting events as far as... I don't know. Let's talk about it. Jeff, you've read the story. You're in the know for 40 years here in Marion in high school sports. What's going to happen? Are we going to get anything off the... And it's speculation. Let's just start with that.
Yeah, this is the last Monday in July. 2 days are supposed to start Saturday. Between... now and Friday, there's going to be a lot happening when it comes to high school sports. Golf, tennis, some of those maybe non-contact sports, those I think might be all right. But when you have the amount of people involved with football and fans, I mean, we haven't even started to think about, are fans going to be allowed? How many fans are going to be allowed into a game? And you texted me, and I hadn't even heard this when you had texted me, but the Cleveland schools, they've canceled their upcoming fall football season. Licking County, which includes Newark, which plays Marion Harding in football. They've canceled their seasons. I think it's only a matter of time. The dominoes are going to be falling real soon.
So let's just get down to brass tacks here. And again, we don't have any inside information. But is there any way possible in the state of Ohio that some school districts cancel their football season and others don't? Is there going to be one team playing somewhere?
If there is, they got to find another team to play with.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Doesn't this be once one or two starts to say we're not going to do this? Isn't that the end?
Yeah, I really think it is.
Yeah,
and it's such a shame because so many, well, pretty much all the schools rely so much on their football program to, much like Ohio State, to fund the other sports, and you take away football, even if you have football but no fans or limited fans, you're going to kill some of these high school budgets for sports.
And it's my understanding the way a lot of people are doing this right now is they're going to try to play fall sports in the spring.
That's just one of the that's just been put on the table. I don't think that is possible. I really don't. Schedules have already been made. I don't. Football is a 10-game schedule. So if you start, say, and by the time you get through the state playoffs, if you go to the state championship, you're talking 15 games. So do you start in March, April? If you start in March, you're going to play March, April, May. You're into June, it's 90 degrees. I just see too many logistic issues with playing spring sports, especially football in the spring.
Don't you think there's a lot of crossover between baseball in the spring and football players to where that would be an issue?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So what do you do?
Absolutely. And baseball, because there had been some talk about moving baseball to the fall, but you know, you get done, of course, there was no baseball season this year, but you gradually work into whatever sport it is. And again, schedules have to be made. I just don't see any way that they would do that.
Now, at this point, and I don't understand this, and maybe you don't either. Now, with the mandatory mask order in place, now, we think the football players, if they did play, would not have to wear them because they are doing some form of exercise, so they would hit that exclusion. Now, it's outside, but would the fans have to wear masks? Would the concessionaires have to wear masks? Would the referees have to wear masks?
Again, there's so many questions to be answered. I don't know, even if you do have fans, I don't know that they would have concessions open.
Well, would fans have to be 6 feet apart? Because much like Harding Stadium, I think a lot of stadiums are built that way. If you set everybody 6 feet apart, what would you have? 200 people there? 150 people?
You could have more, I think, at Harding.
You think?
You know, family, you know, if it's, you know, mom and dad or grandpa, you know, you could sit them together.
Go ahead.
Let me read just a few things. This is from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And there's all kinds of, issues here. Let's see. Boy, I sound well prepared, don't I?
Get away from it for a year and look what happens.
Okay. The Ohio High School Football Coaches Association last week came up, they had a 38-page proposal about some of the things that they would recommend doing in the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And these are some of the things that have been proposed. Extending timeouts from 1 minute to 2 minutes in length, which I have no issue with that. Extending the break between quarters from a minute to 2 minutes, again, no big deal, but shortening halftime from 20 minutes to 10 minutes. So players wouldn't even go into the locker room. They would just stay out on the field. a lot of times 10 minutes is not very long, because that's when coaches go in, they make their halftime adjustments. So I think that would be a big deal if you limit football from 20 minutes to 10 minutes. Extending team boxes to the 10-yard lines on each side so players can spread out more, and I think that's fine. Everybody would have to have their own towel, their own water bottle, no more sharing of water bottles. Footballs would be sanitized multiple times during the game, allowing coaches and team staff to wear masks and gloves, allowing players to wear cloth masks, eliminating players shaking hands after games. During the coin toss, normally you have two or three officials, and you would have like the team captains. A lot of schools have four or five kids. You know, maybe you're an offensive captain, a defensive captain, a special teams captain, whatever. Each team would now be limited to just one person per team. So you would have the referee, one person from each team to do the coin toss. Dressing at your home school and then just showing up at, say, River Valley's at Marion Harding. You know, River Valley would dress at River Valley. They'd take a bus to Harding. They'd get off the bus, and they'd go straight to the field.
Now, are we talking, like, shoulder pads and everything?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything that wouldn't exclude. I mean, maybe you could walk in with your helmets off. But, yeah, shoulder pads, knee pads, everything else you'd have to wear on the bus.
Now, did that just say that players would have to wear masks?
That's what this from the High School Athletic Association.
Yeesh.
Let me go back and, yes. High School Athletic Association recommendations include extending team boxes, the 10-yard lines, banning and sharing of towels, sanitizing and equipment, sanitizing footballs multiple times during games, allowing coaches and team staff to wear masks and gloves, and allowing players to wear cloth masks. So it sounds like the coaches would have to wear gloves, too.
Okay, let's be serious here. Let's say we're out there in early September, which can be very balmy in Ohio here, okay? And you're going for the Hail Mary to get... When you get about halfway there with that mask on and you pass out, this literally could happen. I mean, a lot of these, here's what I think. A lot of these high school kids probably are maybe undiagnosed asthma, or they have asthma, or they have these things that would prohibit them, or just heat in general, which gets to people. Now, I've had these masks on, and I'm not running down the field. It doesn't make me personally gasp for air, but I have seen it do it. Some people just can't wear them. So you've got a helmet on, you've got a mask on, you've got your shoulder pads on, you got your all this on. How do you do that?
You've been playing in 90 degree heat for an hour and a half,
yeah.
Or an hour and 45 minutes. With only a 10-minute break at halftime. And I even, Brian and I were talking about this last week. Harding, River Valley, you know, we're now at Elgin, we get our own press box or our own seats. Elgin did a nice job when they redid their press box. So radio stations kind of have their own unit where there's a couple of seats and it's very nice. Same thing at Pleasant. You actually can just kind of go. We sit on the far left hand side in the press box and there's nobody that bothers us. But River Valley and Ridgedale and Harding, you are in with a lot of other people. And I'm thinking John Cusio does the football games with it. I'm thinking, like at Harding, for instance, you'll have John and myself. Then you'll have Rob McCurdy from the Marion Star or somebody from the Marion Star. You'll have, say they're playing somebody from Toledo. You'll probably have somebody from Toledo paper there. Sometimes you will have, Toledo's not a good example. Say they're playing Galleon. Well, chances are Galleon could have their own radio station. You always bring, for football, you always have two people, sometimes three during a game. You're going to have somebody from the Galleon Inquirer or the Bucyrus paper, somebody will be there. So right there, that's seven or eight people. You have the timekeeper. You have the PA announcer. You have coaches from both teams that are there scouting and so forth. You're liable to have 20 people in a press box. Social distancing, you can't do that in a press box unless they severely limit the amount of people. If John and I are doing a game, does that mean John has to sit 6 feet away from me?
Well, and for
technically, yes.
Well, and for radio's purposes, do you both have to wear masks? Is that, what would that sound like?
See, we haven't gotten to that point yet.
I think you would, because if we're going to make the players wear masks, I'm sure the broadcasters are going to have
to. Sean Kearns at Marion Harding is listening right now, and he's saying, oh my gosh, I hadn't even thought about it.
I know.
The press box.
That's what I say. How do these people, and then you forget about just the football. You've got the band. You've got the cheerleaders. What do they do? Same problem, isn't it?
You would go by Marion Harding, you know, this time of the year, end of July, and you would see the band out practicing, whether it's just the drums, the flag girls, flag boy, I guess there's flag boys too, but you'd see them every day out practicing at Harding High School. I don't think there's been any practicing.
Is that the sign? Because nobody stopped him from practicing. Is this a sign that this probably isn't going to go?
Well, I don't know if anybody, I mean, schools may have stopped him from practicing.
Well, if we can't practice, doesn't that become a problem playing or performing,
no.
I guess, in their particular case?
One of the recommendations from the High School Athletic Association, let me see, is prohibiting bands from going on road trips. Let's see. You printed out too much.
It's four pages, by the way. It's four pages, just so you know.
But somewhere in here, yeah, but the print's really small. Somewhere in here, it talks about bands not being allowed to go to away games. So that may mean cheerleaders. One thing that I didn't notice until you printed this out, the OHSA announced Thursday playoff games would be played at the stadium of the highest seeded teams through at least the second round of the playoffs and possibly into the third. So if you're not familiar with the playoff system, there are eight teams, there's seven different divisions. And there's four regions in each division. It's like Northeast Ohio, Northwest Ohio, Southeast Ohio, Southwest Ohio. Basically, that's it. And the Central Ohio is kind of mixed in there. So you have, in the first round, you have 1-8. And that's where you'll see some, 72-0 scores. So you might have... Well, for a few years ago, North Union played down at Cincinnati Hills Christian Academy. Just a real small school. And we've probably talked about this before. Like a Marion Harding or a Pleasant or River, they're well-equipped to host playoff games. A lot of these smaller schools in some of the rural areas, there's still a few schools that don't have lights. So you get to some of these schools and, their seating capacity might be 300 people. Some schools may have 1,000 season ticket holders. So you get some real issues when you have the playoff situation. And I know the year that I had to go down to Cincinnati Hills Christian, very small school, And they didn't even, as I recall, if they even had visiting seats, there were more than like four or five rows. So very small press box. So I had to climb a ladder, and I'm scared of heights anyway. I had to climb a ladder to the top of the roof of the stadium, and they had a folding chair for me, and I took my equipment up there, and I sat on my folding chair, and I announced for 3 hours. It was raining. It was cold because at this time we're talking, you know, middle of January or middle of November, first part of November. It was cold. It was raining. You know, what could you do? So the second round, they always will match up teams kind of geographically. So say Pleasant's the number one seed, and say a team in Toledo was a five seed. Both teams won. So you would try and match up a site kind of halfway between Pleasant and Toledo. And a lot of times, and Pleasant's been in that Northwest district, a lot of times they'll play in Findlay, they might play in Fremont, Fostoria, you know, somewhere in that area. Now, with the second round and even into the third round, that higher seed is going to be able to host again. So you're not going to have a lot of the schools, Marion Harding, for instance, the last few years, they've hosted playoff games. You can make a lot of money. The athletic department can, you know, get money for hosting a game. The concessions, like Harding, whatever they sell as far as brats and hot dogs, you know, the Harding athletic boosters, they get that money. Now, schools like Harding, if they're not in the playoffs, they're not going to be able to host playoff games. The ramifications just go on and on and on.
Well, this is, we've got people out here listening this morning, and through social media, this is where the, I don't know if this is a question, it's more of a statement, but it's something we can certainly talk about here. This is the mother of a senior who will be a senior this year in high school in one of the county schools here in Marion, saying that, you know, they're visiting colleges, which is what you do at this particular point, and I imagine it has to do with football.
Sure.
So they're visiting colleges, but it's my understanding that they are still practicing and camp starts today. Now, here's the thing about this. But there have been developments over the weekend, and the developments, which is why Jeff is here, is that now some high school teams have dropped out and said, we're not going to do this, probably because I would think driven a little bit by the governor's orders last week, and also seeing that our numbers are going up in a great number. So this mom who's out here listening, who's visiting colleges with her son, who's a football player, star, whatever it may be at this particular point in Marion, who is getting ready to play, who is practicing, the camp starts today. I mean, is there even percentage-wise it for me that these people are going to play with these teams dropping out starting Friday? And it just started Friday that teams started to drop out.
I would say less than 50%.
That's bad. Because, I mean, you can practice and you can go to camp.
Two-a-days is when you really kind of get at it. Now, they'll have practices and so forth and camps and so forth, but it's always August 1st is kind of the day that you can really get at it, and that's where, and I don't know as much now as maybe 20, 30 years ago, you know, kids would come in at 7:30 in the morning, they'd practice for a couple hours, they'd have team film sessions or learning sessions, you'd have lunch, you'd practice in the afternoon, or you'd come back in the evening. That's when you really get at it. And that's going to start on Saturday, which is August the 1st. That's where the preparation really kind of ramps up. Teams get a couple of scrimmages. So the first scrimmage might be, say, August 14th, August 15th, somewhere around in there. Then you'll have another scrimmage a week after that, and then the season starts basically the end of August. But the reason that you contacted me over the weekend, the Cleveland schools have announced that they are doing away with fall sports, particularly football.
As of Friday morning.
As of Friday, and Licking County, which is kind of out of the area. I mentioned Marion Harding plays Newark, I don't know if I didn't look at Harding's schedule this year to see if Newark's on the schedule. They've played Newark a number of years, and it seems to me Harding might have Newark on the schedule again this year. But the Licking County schools announced that they're not going to be playing sports. So schools that, say, are in the Columbus area, maybe around Zanesville, Fairfield County, those kind of schools that might have three or four teams from Licking County, all of a sudden you go from a 10-game schedule, you're down to a 6-game schedule, 7-game schedule. There's going to be a lot of holes to fill.
Well, and also we should also make mention, it's on the news report today, but here it is also as of Friday, the Ohio Athletic Conference, made up of NCAA Division III schools across the state, announced that it's postponing all sporting events through December 31st, 2020 because of COVID-19, the pandemic. They say that. And this affects cross-country, football, golf, soccer, tennis, volleyball, all of them. And these are some big schools.
Well, you mentioned fall sports.
Yeah.
Through December 31st?
December 31st is what it says.
Basketball season, the winter sports, they usually start that maybe that first weekend in December.
Well, the line here, the winter sports of basketball, indoor track and field, swimming and diving and wrestling will have competition postponed in 2020, but there are plans to resume in January 2021. Now, these are some big schools. I mean, you've heard of them here in Ohio. Baldwin-Wallace University, Capital University, Heidelberg University, John Carroll, Marietta College, the University of Mount Union, Muskingum University, Ohio Northern University, Otterbein, and Wilmington. And all fall under
and,
that.
And Mount Union in particular, a football powerhouse for many, many years, national champions for many, many years. You know, I mean, Mount Union sends some players to the pros in the past few years. With, all of a sudden, there's no college football at Mount Union.
With these schools out, how can the rest, who have not announced that they're out?
Well, and I think the North Coast Athletic Conference last week also announced, which is the Ohio Wesleyans, some of the smaller schools, but similar to the OAC, where they've also announced that they're doing away with fall sports.
Well, here's the deal. We understand there, to my knowledge, as of now, no school in Marion County has said we're not going to play. It's also my understanding there are a lot of colleges that have not said that either. But, and this just happened Friday, and in the weekend nobody's going to do anything. But when you have, you know, these schools dropping out, saying we're not going to do it, you have some high schools, that are already saying we're not going to do it. Is it feasible in any way that a school can say we're going to do it? Because the first time a kid's infected, all these schools that said we're not going to do it because of COVID, and that's what they're saying, and to even go as far as to say, we're not going to do golf, we're not going to do soccer, we're not going to do tennis, we're not going to do cross country, we're not going to do volleyball. How can anybody go through and say, well, we're going to be the lone ones here and we're going to do it? Is that possible?
And it only takes a couple of schools, say the MOAC, which is primarily what Marion is. You got Harding, River Valley, Pleasant, Galleon, Shelby, those schools, say Galleon and Shelby, Richland County, say they both decide, well, we're not going to play football this year, or we're not going to play fall sports. All of a sudden, Harding and Pleasant and River Valley, they have two holes to fill. And you know, you play week one, you play week four, you play week, you know, it just, trying to play a 10-game schedule, which is what teams do, all of a sudden you're down to eight teams. And that's just if one or two teams pull out. And you're going to have teams from different parts of the state pulling out. And again, that I just think that domino effect is going to really come into play. And of course, you know, we saw it with the spring sports. And spring sports don't get as much recognition maybe as fall sports just because of football. But you see it at the end of the basketball season, the end of the wrestling season where they had to cancel. You know, so many of those kids, softball, baseball, track and field, especially seniors that were really counting on having a good senior year, getting looks from, you know, college coaches, all of a sudden, you know, that's been taken away. You know, if you're, particularly if you're a senior and you're pretty good in football, senior year is when a lot of the coaches start noticing you. You take that away, it's just, it's going to be devastating.
Isn't the underlying problem here, because we can say, look at Major League Baseball right now, and they are playing, but no fans. And baseball is not a contact sport.
Right.
And they even had to change the rules for the first time in 150 years.
And putting those fake fans in the stands, that's not stupid.
That's different. Why don't they just make the fan noises like sitcoms do? Make the laugh noise. Just make the fan noise. Have somebody there with a button. Wouldn't that solve it?
I think.
Do they do that?
I think some. Yeah, I think some of the stadiums or some of the teams were going to do that. Yeah.
So okay, that's major, and they went on. But isn't this the underlying problem with high school and college? Because high school, especially college, somewhat. We still look at these as kids. These are not men. These are kids. So you go out on the field and you play a contact sport, and it doesn't even matter if they pass it. If somebody goes out there who ends up testing positive for the COVID, now that's going to happen. It just, the odds against for that happening are just huge. It's going to happen. So the deal, as I understand it, is when you test positive, you have to say who you've come in contact with, and everybody has to self-quarantine for 2 weeks regardless, and they all have to get the test. So the first time that happens and your entire team is quarantined for 2 weeks,
yeah,
isn't that it?
And that's a very real possibility.
Very real. So how do you get this?
And if I'm a parent, you want your kids to go out and, you know, experience, you know, we're primarily talking about football, but whatever the sport is. But how many parents out there are thinking right now, do I want to expose my son or daughter to that kind of a situation?
Well, and this, and we're not saying who, but we just got another social media thing here, and I don't know if this is plausible. The deal is, don't get your kid tested. Now, I don't think that's how we would want to handle this, is it, Jeff?
I'm sure the schools probably have some sort of regulation, like if you're going to participate.
That's what I think.
Yeah, if you're going to participate in a sport, you have to get tested.
Probably every week. I imagine it's probably that stringent.
I don't know.
Well, I just...
It's depressing.
It is. Well, that's what we're here for every morning, to depress you. But you know what? We need to talk about this because, you know, it's kind of confusing to a degree, because you've got camps and you've got people practicing already and we're all gearing up. But Friday, and I think last week was significant because of what the governor did, reversing himself, yep, after saying he wasn't going to do what he was going to do, and then he did it. Also, we became a red county, yep, last week. When we're a red county, are we even allowed to do this? We became a red county last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't... we'd have to talk to somebody, but I'm not even sure if we're allowed when we're red, because now we are, even though the state is mandatory right now, we would be mandated in this county to wear masks because of going red as of last Thursday.
By the way, the Marion Public Library is closed effective immediately, because when they went from it's yellow, orange, red, purple, right?
Purple, yeah.
Okay. And when they went from orange to red, Marion Public Library is now shut down.
Right. So how can you have the library closed down and have kids out there knocking each other on Friday night? I don't think it's a possibility at this point.
And I wonder about the crowds. Does each person get, you know, sort of like graduation, does each person get four tickets or four passes for their, you know, parents, grandparents, brother, sister, whatever? And is that the maximum amount of people that you can have in the stands?
Let's take money out of this for a second, because football's a moneymaker. There's no doubt about it for all these schools, college and high school. If you take money out of it for high school, what is the drive for you to have a season at this point, knowing what we know medically in Ohio?
I don't know that there is a good one.
Right. What's going to be your reasoning to the county health director, to the state health department, to the visiting teams, which are from different counties, to the parents of those kids who are not adults, because most of them are not 18 yet. What's your reasoning to say, we're going to do this, if not for money?
A lot of the schools, say Youngstown, they'll play schools in Pennsylvania or, you know, Cincinnati, Moeller and St. X and Elder. You know, they'll play schools in Louisville or Lexington, or Toledo schools will play schools a lot of times in Michigan, or, you know, depending on where you're located. Southeastern Ohio, a lot of the southeastern schools will play schools in West Virginia because, just because of the travel issues and so forth. All of a sudden, are you going to, okay, I'm, you know, Cincinnati St. Xavier, I got a game in Louisville on Friday night, go to Louisville. What if Kentucky or Pennsylvania, whatever the state is, maybe they've banned sports? Or you go to Louisville and somebody tests positive, or a couple people test positive. Not only have you impacted your community, you've impacted the school, you know, 100 miles away.
Well, and
there's just so much ramifications out there.
Well, and the two moving parts, and just practical moving parts that we're not talking about here. Number one, what if your mom and dad just say, listen, you're not playing?
And that's going to happen.
And number two is really, in my estimation, here's what I believe is going to happen today at a lot of these places. The athletic director or the coach is going to come in and they're going to say, listen, no matter what you've heard, we're playing. This is going to be the thing. Don't worry about it. We're going to play. But if you don't have any teams to play, how are you going to do it? I mean, don't you believe that there are going to be athletic directors and coaches that are going to say that today because they want to play? But as teams continue to fall by the wayside.
And as somebody that has done the games on the radio, I want to play.
Right.
I look at some of the radio stations, and I'll use the station in Bucyrus, WQEL, WBCL, AM, FM. And I know a lot of the people at that station. You know some of them, too. They rely so much on sports for their programming. They will do a show, I think it's Monday and Thursday. They'll be at Pizza Hut. I think one of them's Pizza Hut in Galleon. The other one is maybe Pizza Hut in Bucyrus, where they will have, say, Monday night, they'll have Colonel Crawford, Bucyrus, and Winford. They'll have a couple of coaches, a couple of the players. They'll come in. It's an hour program. They'll sit around. They'll talk about the season, who they played last week, who they play next week. Thursday night, it's the other schools in the Crawford County area. Do the same thing. They get a huge amount of revenue from doing that. Friday night, there's a pregame show. They do a very successful call-in show after the game, till around midnight. They sell out every year. We're talking maybe 40 sponsors, 30 sponsors, whatever it is. They pay top dollar, whatever top dollar is in Bucyrus, Ohio, but they pay top dollar to play the commercials for their football games, for the coaches show, for the scoreboard show. Saturday morning, they do a kind of a review, you know, last night's scores brought to you in part. And they have each hour, and they have different sponsors that will pay for it. You take that out of the equation, it's going to kill a station like Bucyrus. And it's not just Bucyrus. I mean, we're talking a lot of other radio stations that were TV stations. There's a TV station in Mansfield every Friday night. They televise a high school football game, and they charge premium rates for their sponsors to broadcast that game. You take that out of the equation, it's just going to ruin stations like that.
Maybe they can get that Gordon deal and repeat him like 18 times. I've heard that's been done successfully in places. Jeff Ruth is the guest. What are you now? Sports Director Emeritus in Marion? You were the last one. Is that what we call you now?
Sure, that sounds good.
That's a good title. Sports Director Emeritus here in Marion, helping us all sort this all out. And we're going to continue next hour talking.
We're just going to make it more confusing.
It's very confusing right now, and we're gonna talk about it more because there are a lot of stuff here with mental health for these kids. Are the kids going to get in trouble? What do you do when you want to go to a college in the fall? You have no high school year, final year, senior year to talk about. Homecoming happens during this thing. I guess the dance won't happen. That thing's over with. We really don't know. We just don't know.
Do we have 30 seconds?
30 seconds.
I even heard, I don't know if it's Hershey's or one of the big candy makers came out last week that they are cutting down the amount of candy that they're going to make the rest of the year. So much of it is Halloween, and they do so much promotion and advertising for Halloween. They don't expect to be a Halloween this year. Or if there is, certainly nothing like it's been in the past.
Oh.
So they are really cutting out a lot of their candy making here for the next 3 or 4 months.
This is a tragedy. This is a tragedy of epic proportions, folks. Candy shortages and no football. What in the world are we going to do? We're coming back in 10 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
But, you know, if they would say, yeah, come on back, you know, let's let cooler heads prevail, absolutely, I would get rid of the lawsuit. You know, this was the lawsuits by which we could have a conversation with the university. And, you know, as again I say, that all I have is my honor and my word and my reputation.